Now, Bianca, we're getting our money's worth out of you this week because Fran's been in touch and wants to know what science can tell us about ways to quit smoking. Can you help with this one?
Okay.
Big question, this. This is a multi-billion dollar industry.
Definitely, definitely. And yeah, quitting smoking is definitely a worthy and good thing to do. It's, but fortunately, tobacco seems to be one of the addictions we seem to be reasonable at treating. But it's also really important to recognise, again, getting back to this idea of that most of us actually aren't vulnerable to addiction. So people being able to just quit smoking willy-nilly could just potentially be that they're not actually addicted. They're dependent. Yes, you have the withdrawal effects, but you're not actually addicted. And so you manage to, you know, for whatever reason, grow out of your addiction and stop.
Can I clarify something then? Because that was very interesting what you just said. You said most of us are not vulnerable to addiction. So roughly what proportion of the population are there?
So it's between 12 and 20% of the population who use drugs who ultimately go on to develop addiction.
So you'd call them high risk of addiction type people?
Yep.
Okay.
Definitely.
And so if you focus on those, what can say you're in that 20%, which is interesting you say 20% because that's roughly the proportion of adults in Western countries that smoke, isn't it? So they're probably the high risk of addiction type people, aren't they?
Exactly.
So what can you do to help someone who finds themselves in that high risk bracket and they're a smoker? What can they do to stop?
Yeah. So essentially when you stop smoking or stop whatever your vice happens to be, you're looking for this dopamine hit. You're craving, as they say. And so you're used to getting this through your hit of nicotine. And what most people use to come off it is this nicotine replacement therapy. So this idea of gum or even now these electronic cigarettes. And what that is doing is kind of replacing that hit of dopamine with another form that's potentially less harmful. So it's a harm minimization strategy.
Is that effective, do you think? Is that the best way of nailing the habit?
Yeah, so it definitely works for some people. And I think the biggest criticism that comes out of these sort of studies looking at this is that people don't take enough nicotine replacement therapy or for long enough, so they eventually relapse and it's a very slippery slope. But amazingly, the brain is very plastic and works like a muscle. So every time you manage to resist having a cigarette, your ability to be able to resist having a cigarette gets stronger. And so in this way, NRT, or nicotine replacement therapy, is one way to do it. So the other therapeutic that we have that works exceptionally well is called Champix or varenicline. And that works on basically blocking these nicotine receptors within the brain. In blocking them, it actually stimulates them, so you get your hit of dopamine. But also amazingly, because it sits in the receptor, anytime you do happen to have a cigarette, if you do relapse, you don't get that same hit. So it's not rewarding anymore. So you, again, it's like flexing that prefrontal cortex and getting better at being able to inhibit that craving. And yeah, so it's actually been an exceptionally useful therapeutic. Unfortunately, it does have some side effects. You know, people report having really crazy vivid dreams. And yeah, so it doesn't work for everyone, unfortunately. But yes, that's currently the best way to go about this.